Are you interested in showcasing your home? If you've gone tiny and would love to show off your van, bus, RV, yurt, boat, dome, or traditional tiny home, click the link below and apply to be featured on the Tiny Home Tours channel. Welcome back to the Tiny Home Tours podcast.
The tiny house made me feel in my body this thing that I think I always understood, which is that there are no rules.
Like, you're literally living in the moment. I know it's a cliche saying, but living this lifestyle consistently puts me in that mindset.
It's about keeping all of the things that matter to you and letting everything else go.
I've been scared a lot of times, but I jump anyways, I guess. You have to jump.
Join us each week as we share stories, wisdom, and practical tips from those who choose to have less and live more. Hey everyone, this is Ayana. I'm back with another episode of the Tiny Home Tours podcast. Today I am joined by Chrissy. She has been living on the road for, I actually don't know how long you've been living on the road.
About three and a half years.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So from a school bus that she previously lived in, now she's in a truck camper. We're going to get into her story, how it got started for her, how the road has been, the ups, downs, and learn about her businesses that she runs from her rig. So thank you so much for taking the time today.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
Of course. All right. So we've been starting this new season with two truths and a lie from all of our nomads. So hit me with your three and I'll guess which one's the lie.
Okay. The first is I've driven across the country since being a nomad 8 times. And the second is I really had trouble downsizing. And at first, all of my personal belongings would not fit into my first rig, which was the bus. And then I've rebuilt the same rig 3 times.
8 times is a lot of times to drive across the country. That's a lot. But I feel like I could see you doing that. Your possessions not fitting. That makes sense to me. Like, knowing you as a jewelry maker and an artist, I can see it being really tricky to fit all of your passions, hobbies, and things into the bus. So I think I'm going to say that number 3 is the lie. You did not build the same rig out 3 times.
Okay. Actually, the lie was the second one about having trouble downsizing. Surprisingly, I think I do have a lot of hobbies, like a lot of creative hobbies and then a lot of like outdoor hobbies. I have, you know, like the jewelry business and the candle business and then like my graphic design business. And then I have like more than one paddleboard and a kayak. And so somehow I fit that all into my rig. And it's probably because I have more of that stuff than like clothes and shoes and like more personal things. So that's probably why.
Kind of balances it out. Yeah. Your hobbies just take up all the space. I can relate to that. Yeah. I can relate to that for sure. That's awesome. So tell us like your nomad origin story. How did all of this start for you?
Okay. Well, previously I was in the military. I was in the U.S. Navy. And so that's kind of what sparked my interest for travel, and I think not even necessarily travel, but just not wanting to be like stuck in one place and really just like I couldn't decide where I wanted to live. And I just felt like there was so much of the U.S. that I still wanted to see. And so after I got out of the military, I moved back. I'm from Michigan, so that's how I've driven so many times across the country. And I went to college here, and I was running into really struggling to stay here and finish college. I mean, every summer I had to like talk myself into like not taking another year off and just to get it done. And so every time I had a break from school, I had all these like trips planned. And then it was hard to do them because it got so expensive. So it was like you had to rent a car or an airplane or a hotel. And it just never worked out that well. So I was like, well, and then I saw a friend that was kind of in my similar situation. I was stationed with them in the military as well. And they were moving full-time into a camper. And that's the first time I ever heard of anyone doing it full-time. And I'm like, wait a second, if they're doing it, like, why can't I? And then I got hooked. I was asking them a million questions. And that night I was searching on Facebook Marketplace like 4 a.m. And I really had no idea about any of it. And so I was really just looking for like a trailer to pull behind my vehicle. And then I realized I don't have a vehicle that can pull anything. And then that's kind of when I came across like van life and actually like tiny home tours. And then I just started seeing like all these different types of rigs. So my plan was to get a van. And of course, this was like middle of COVID. And I couldn't really, it was out of my budget being a full-time college student and like still working on the side. But I couldn't really afford a van. And I could not afford anyone else to build it out for me. And so I saw really close to me, because being on the east side of the states, there wasn't a whole lot of options for sale. And I came across a small little school bus. It was a 5-window. And so I went to look at it. And then it turns out it was already built out, but the build was like very simple and just not my taste as far as the aesthetics. And so it ended up being, he had like a whole fleet of little school buses he was selling. And I came across kind of an ideal rig. It was just like the engine that was I was really seeking out, and then it was a 5-window, and I've never been inside a short school bus before, so really just going to like see what it was like, and then I fell in love, and it was within my budget, and from there I was just like, okay, I guess I'm gonna build it out myself and figure it out. And I bought it like that day. I didn't like go home and think about it. I just like jumped in.
Awesome. And did you have build experience prior to like taking this on?
No, absolutely none. Yeah, none. I didn't even know how to take like the drill bit off of a drill. Like I had to Google it. And the first day of demo, I couldn't get all the screws out of the floor. And then I started like crying. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? Yeah, I had no build experience whatsoever. I just learned off YouTube and just asked people on Instagram. Yeah.
Dang. What are some of your like favorite YouTube tutorial channels that were really helpful?
Yeah. I would honestly look at so many of them, mostly because it was like, okay, tomorrow I have to do electrical. So I'd watch tons of videos on electrical. And I kind of liked watching the people who didn't know what they were doing, because I'm like, that's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it the most simplest way. But, well, Linnea and Akilah for sure. And then I think it was the Traveling Smitties or Smiths. And then I don't know. There's just a lot of them, to be honest.
It's so cool. I feel like, yeah, so many people don't have experience, and it's such a daunting task to take on. And so I feel like hearing from folks who literally started at zero experience and then managed to build the rig out 3 times, that's incredible. Yeah.
That's what I always told people that would ask me questions. I'm like, if I did it, anyone can do it, because I had absolutely no build experience and I really had no help. So I did it all myself. Like, I mean, I put a deck on my bus in a day all by myself. Like, I carried up every single board up there. So I'm like, if I can do it, anyone can do it.
That's so amazing. That's so cool.
It was probably the best like learning experience I've ever had, for sure.
Yeah, and they're skills that last you a lifetime. You know, like now you know how to do it all. And what an empowering and cool thing to be able to say that you taught yourself how to build houses.
Yeah. And then the few things that I did do terribly wrong, I either learned and redid it later or learned from someone that knew how to do it. So it all worked out.
That's so cool. So how long did it take you to finish your first build?
It only took me about 2 months, and that I was full time in college and I wasn't even living where I was building it. I did a pretty simple build as far as I tried to get everything already like secondhand. So all my cabinetry I got from the resale store, and then I did buy like a couch off Amazon. But I did do like all the electrical and the plumbing and whatnot. So I spent like all of my time. I probably should have been doing homework, and like it wasn't really free time, but I was like obsessed with getting it done.
Totally. So 2 months. And then how long were you on the road in that like initial build? How long did you travel for?
I mostly just traveled for the whole summer because I had to come back and finish school. So then I was pretty much like part-time out of my rig. And then any break I had, I was like in it. But the school I went to is in a pretty busy city in Michigan, so I wasn't able to like living it full time. But then it was nice because I was able to kind of come back and be stationary and then rip it all apart and redo it. And I did that twice.
That's amazing. The third time, do you feel like you were satisfied? Like, did you get to a point where it was like, okay, I did it?
Yes. The third one was my favorite. I loved it so much and it was so cozy. And that was probably like I'm like, this is my last build ever. Unless someone else is going to help me, I'm happy with this and I'm going to keep this until like the wheels fall off. So,
yeah. Yeah. And so 3.5 years on the road now, tell us how, obviously different kinds of road living, right? Like going to school and then doing the part-time thing and then full-time on the road. How has it been for you? How have you liked nomad life?
I love it. I love it. I am not ready to settle down right now. And I think that's for a few reasons. One, because I started out kind of part-time. And then the next year, you know, it was like I was full-time, traveling as fast as I could. And then my third year, I started to slow down. And so now it's like I saw all of my kind of like bucket list places. And now I just know what areas I really like. And I just want to go to them and like hang out there for a bit instead of moving around so quickly.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common for nomads. It's like the first couple years you feel like you have to go, go, go. And then eventually you're like, wait, this is just life. I'm just going to live in these places. And that changes so much.
Yep,
changes totally. So much. Cool. Okay, so tell us like road life, highs, lows, growing edges. Yeah.
I feel like there was, when I think about it, there's not a whole lot that first comes to mind that is like the lows or the bad things. Obviously, lows are like when you have breakdowns. I actually got pretty lucky and I didn't really have too many breakdowns. My engine was really solid. The two major, it was my first summer in it and I got it fixed. I had to stay in a hotel for like a week though. It was like a motel in the middle of nowhere. And then my AC went out and I was somewhere, it was like 100 degrees. And with my dogs, I just couldn't do that. So it's always a little stressful, but it always works out. And then I think you get to the point where it's like, you're not the only one dealing with these things. And if you're living in your rig full time, like it's going to happen. And so after that, it was just kind of like, I would take it as is and just, you know, roll with the waves. But yeah, so far, I mostly can just think of like the really good times in it and like memories and places that I really enjoyed and people that I've met.
Yeah, the community makes everything so much better. And even the struggling, you know, like you're saying, you're not the only person going through these things.
Yeah. And then too, because I didn't do it for the community. I didn't even really realize that was a part of it. I just wanted to like go out. I just wanted to go do the things I liked out in nature and have my house with me. And then I went to my first event and I was like, oh my gosh, like this is like life changing. And so since then, the community's been a really important part. And that's also when something does happen, I'm usually near someone that is willing to come and help. So I never truly feel completely alone, even though I'm traveling by myself with my two dogs. But
Yeah, I guess that's something that we didn't touch on yet. You are like a solo female traveler and the experience has been pretty good for you. How?
Yeah. There's not a whole lot of times. I've been more afraid when I lived in a house in Detroit than being in my rig for the most part. And obviously I listen to my intuition and I, you know, make choices, but I haven't had any major issues. It's been pretty nice.
Nice, nice. So this past year, I know probably the biggest low that you've had in nomad life happened this last year when your bus burned down.
Yeah.
From what I understand, it was like parked in an RV park next to someone else's rig. Their rig caught on fire. And then subsequently, your rig caught on fire.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. And it's kind of funny because when you asked about lows, that didn't even really come to mind, because which is kind of strange. But just because that was kind of a freak accident, and it's just not something that I think people are going to have to deal with, like, on the regular. But yeah, it completely burned down because it was parked next to an RV that caught fire and then it spread to my rig. So yeah, it's been a big shift in life right now. And so that is why I'm transitioning into a truck camper to try something new. But it has been a learning experience for sure. But what's most important, I feel like, for me to also include is the support I've had from the community. I mean, it was like overwhelming in the best way possible. I mean, that has been everything. Really, it has. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're so obviously so glad that you're okay, that your pups were okay, and that the community has come through for you, because that is something that all of us worry about. You know, you see a number of fires every year for different reasons, and it's such a scary possibility. And when that possibility becomes your reality, I can't imagine what that's like.
Yeah. And it's something that I always thought was never going to happen to me. And especially, you know, I had a lot of, I think when, at least for me, when I first would think of like, oh, my rig catching fire, it'd be something from what I did. Like I left something on or electrical or something. And I did have all that looked over, and anything that was kind of iffy was actually recently fixed. And so it was a big shock at first. And then once I realized, you know, my rig isn't what started the fire, it made a little bit more sense for me, I guess. But with that said, and me kind of just being naive and, you know, thinking that will never be my reality and not worrying about it too much, I've learned a big lesson there that I really like to be transparent about and share with people, because it's been pretty detrimental for me. But I did not have like high coverage insurance. I was actually in the middle of switching over insurances, and I was just kind of being lazy about it. Yeah. So that's my fault for not having insurance that would cover any of it. So it did end up being a total loss. And then of course the RV that was next to it, they had no insurance at all either. So it really was a total loss. And that's why I'm just so thankful for all the support I've had, because I probably would be nowhere near being able to be this close to getting back on the road if it wasn't for that.
Yeah, well, we've all got you. I'm glad everyone's coming through for you. And yeah, I think a super important just note for everyone listening, like it's hard. I get it. It's hard to want to sink that money into insurance every month. And especially like we've been on the road for 3 years now, and we do have pretty solid insurance, at least I think. You know, it's always different when you go to file a claim. You never know what they're going to tell you. But I do think it is wise for all of us who call our vehicles home to just try to make sure that we are covered for those accidents, because they do happen.
Yeah, totally. My advice is just to call and just ask questions. And with my new rig, that's what I asked, like a million questions. And it got to the point where the insurance agent was like, did your rig, is something wrong with it? And I was like, no, I just have had a bad experience, but like, we're good for now. I just want to make sure, because insurance is tricky and you never know.
It is tricky. If we can ask, which company are you going through now? Like, what have you found to be the best option for where you're at?
Yeah. So my rig is a little bit different because it's a truck camper. And so it sits in the bed of your truck and it doesn't have its own wheels. So it fits underneath of my truck's insurance. I use USAA. And I did look into a couple other options and everything was pretty good as far as having a truck camper. It was pretty easy. But I think when you convert a vehicle into an RV and you have to change that title and registration over is when it can get a little tricky. And when I went through all that, I didn't ask a lot of questions because I just wanted someone to insure me. And so that kind of bit me in the butt a little later on. So I think it's just really important to ask questions. But I've heard of a couple companies that have been really helpful with people, Allstate, General National. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're on State Farm.
Yeah, I've heard they're great too.
You know, and a lot of people, yeah, will ask about the roof deck and the wood stove, and they asked us about it, and I was like, "Yep, we have both." And he was like, "Great."
Yeah,
like I didn't expect you to say that. I've been hearing things that were not supportive. Yeah.
I think it's also really important to make sure like your personal property is covered, because that can be a little bit different than just having your home covered as well.
Totally. So I've heard of some people getting renter's insurance for that. Is that the best way to do it, do you think?
From what I understand, that's what I'm doing now too. Yeah. So I have the camper covered and then all my personal belongings, because what had happened to me with the bus is I was planning to leave that night for a really long trip. So I completely packed up the bus with like everything I own. So I ended up not leaving that night because it took me so long to like get everything around, and I was going to leave super early in the morning. So like, I mean, my computer, I work full time from my computer, client stuff. I mean, everything you can think of. All another tip is all your important documents, either store them in like a fire safe container or don't leave them in your home, because I had like everything in there because it's my home. And so I'll be taking a little different measures from now on.
Yeah. Yeah. We appreciate all of your insight into it and are so sorry that that happened.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I just really like to share what I've learned from it because I thought it would never happen to me, and it did. And I had to kind of have a reality check with it. And I would hate for someone else that was like kind of in my same mindset to not make a change when it can really change the outcome of something like that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So you've mentioned the truck camper.
Yeah.
Does it have a name yet?
It doesn't. And I never actually gave a name to my bus, but this definitely feels like she deserves a name. And I just haven't come up with one yet because it's just totally different from the bus. The bus, even though it was just a short, you know, 5-window, it felt like luxury. It was so big in there. And when I was inside, I loved the space. And now I'm transitioning to a much smaller. And a reason I did that is because, I mean, I was ready for a complete change anyway. And I could not find a bus that had like the same engine that I had previously. And I really wanted that engine. And so, and I also wanted something 4x4. So that's how I landed with what I have now. And my truck actually like is pretty much the same engine as the bus. So it worked out. And then the camper, it's interesting because I went from like having no hot water, like not a real toilet, and I have that now. And we'll see like how that feels when I'm like fully in it, because I'm still in the middle of kind of making it, putting some love into it and making it totally mine before I hit the road. But it's exciting because it feels so different already. So a name hasn't come to me yet, but I definitely feel like it'll need some type of quirky name because it's pretty vintage. It's on the older side.
Cool. Yeah. What year, make, and model is there?
Yeah. So it's a 1994 Shadow Cruiser, and it's a pretty big one. It's like an 11-foot, so it has to be in a long bed truck. And my truck's large. It's a dually and a 3500 to carry it. So it feels pretty big when I'm driving it around, actually. But the space is still much smaller than my bus. And they don't actually make this camper anymore. They stopped making it, I think, like 1999. So it's pretty unique, and it has like some like weird quirks and storage things in it that I've never seen before in a camper.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So are you like doing a full remodel, or like what are you doing to the camper?
I'm not. I feel like emotionally, I just don't have it in me right now to do a full build again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another reason why I wanted a truck camper, is because all the bones are already there. So I'm really just like painting for now and doing kind of the bare minimum just so I can get back on the road. I think if this is going to be a longer term vehicle for me, I'll definitely be doing like a lot more deeper renovations. But right now, I just want to get back on the road and get back out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So when are you going to hit the road? Or like, what is your ideal timeline plans? Well, where are you headed? All those things.
Yeah, like very soon. I mean, my truck is still kind of getting everything like inspected and everything fixed before I hit the road. Because that's also, my camper's 30 years old and my truck's 15 years old. So I'm just making sure everything's kind of buttoned up. And I'm in Michigan right now, and it's actually middle of a snowstorm. So I just want to head anywhere warmer and with sun. So I'm hoping by like February, like a month, like not even a month, I like to be back on the road. And I kind of plan on doing road life a little bit different this year, just to change it up. So you kind of brought it up before, but I'm almost like a serial entrepreneur. And I have been since I left the military, actually before I even left the military, I just knew I always wanted to be able to work from wherever I wanted. and I didn't want to be like stuck in one place. And that's kind of a reason why I even joined the military. And so I tend to find creative outlets that I really enjoy, and then I make them into businesses. So it's anywhere from making jewelry and candles, and I'm a graphic designer. That's what my degree is in. So obviously that, and then I'm kind of finding ways to make passive income through that. So it's just always fun because I'm not getting bored of doing like the same thing. I think if I had one job and it was something I like really enjoyed and was my creative outlet, I would get sick of it because it's a job. So I tend to be really busy doing that. And so this year, I think I'm going to try out a seasonal job and try to kind of slow my other businesses down a little bit. But it's hard because I don't want to commit to one spot. But I think it's just time for me to like try it out, because it's been something I wanted to do since I started, and I just haven't been able to make the commitment. So I think if I find a place, I've been talking to a few people, if I find a place that I already know I really like and it has to be near water, then I'll be okay for a couple months.
Nice. Do you have any like, this is what I would like to do for a seasonal work ideas, or are you really open to anything?
No, I'm pretty picky about it. Like if I'm going to, I feel like sacrifice like the freedom being wherever I want. But it's definitely the few spots I'm looking at are like Oregon and Idaho. And they're like little resort or like campgrounds right on lakes, or that include hot springs. So that's like ideal for me. Yeah. And also freelancing and working, you know, just by myself. I'm my only team member. I'm just kind of ready to have that like in-person like work relationships as well. So I'm just ready for a little bit of a change.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you're a business owner, yes, you get to make your own hours, and yes, you can be anywhere, but also it's all on your shoulders. And
yeah, it takes a lot of discipline. It's really hard.
Yeah, not having that ability to really like clock out at the end of the day, be like, okay, I'm done with this now. It's like, no, always answering emails, always going to events to sell things, always making things to keep up with the things that you're selling at events and everything. And it does get to be a lot.
Yeah, exactly. That's, yeah, you hit it right on the head. Yeah.
I can definitely understand wanting to just, like we were talking about, even with traveling and it being year three, of just kind of like slowing down and sinking in a little bit to the places that you know you like. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking too, having a seasonal job, I'll be, you know, sitting in one spot and I'd like to save up some money. So maybe when I'm not working that seasonal job, I'm not hustling so much, I guess. So yeah. I think it'll be nice.
Nice. How cool. You really are a jack of all trades. That's how we met. We met selling jewelry next to each other at Descend a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Everyone check out Chrissy's jewelry and candles and apparel and everything, because you're very talented. Yeah, you're super, super talented artist. We'll make sure, obviously, to link all of the businesses, any way people can find you and support you, in the show notes and description of the podcast too.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we always like to ask people if they have advice for folks who are looking to hit the road. We did get a hot take on insurance from you, which is much appreciated. What other advice do you have for folks?
I feel like the most average answer is to like, if you want to do it, just jump into it and do it. But I will say, just don't overthink it, especially with my experience with having three different builds in one rig. I think it's helpful just to, I mean, figure out what rig is going to suit your lifestyle best and then just try it out. And I have had a few people like message me on social media and they'll be like, I'm kind of scared to like do full time. And I'm like, the way I look at it is you never know unless you try. And then if you do it and you decide it's not for you, you don't have to do it anymore. You can change your mind. So I think just not putting a lot of pressure on yourself and not overthinking it in general, but not overthinking, I guess, your build out as well, because that's something you can always change. And that's, I like that at my first build was pretty simple, because I think if I went all in and had it to be where it would have been really hard to change it, I never would have changed it and I wouldn't have been happy with it. And you really don't know what works best for you until you try it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can definitely see like your builds kind of grew as you grew. And so then you get to figure out what really works for you and how to structure things in the way that feels best. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I like that. It doesn't have to be like some pristine build for you to get on the road and see if you dig it.
Yeah. And I do think for most people, and I mean, I fall into this as well, it's almost like you get your build becomes, or your rig becomes a part of you for sure, but, and it can be like a personality trait, but I also think it's like your rig isn't what's important. It's like, and what it does is like bring those experiences to you. And so that's, I think, what helped me so much through like grieving the loss of my home was it wasn't even the materialistic things that was so hard about losing. It was everything, the lifestyle and like those experiences and just being on the road kind of ending for a short time. So really it's like the rig is just your vessel to this lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's so much like philosophically also that plays into that. Like the whole reason that any of us are doing this is because we want a different sort of life. And yes, the rig is part of that, but it's not that entirely. Like, yeah, it's about what the rig creates space for. It's about what the rig creates in your life that brings the fulfillment, not necessarily the build itself.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Okay. Tell us where we can follow you and how people can support you.
Okay. Instagram, I'm pretty active on. I feel like that's been an amazing way for me to like build relationships and connections. So I hang out over on Instagram a lot. I have a YouTube channel. And then, yeah, just right now I'm really kind of focusing on my graphic design business and kind of providing some options to bring towards the community. So yeah, that's where I hang out the most.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we'll link those profiles for sure and make sure everyone can find you in the many things that you create and produce online. Thank you for sharing your story and your vulnerability and the high highs and the low lows that road life has brought you. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for creating space for me to talk about that. And hopefully someone can learn from that experience that I went through. And I enjoy talking about it in the sense of just being able to kind of put that information out there for other people. So.
Yeah. I think myself included, I will be probably calling my insurance company and just asking those questions and starting to get down to the nitty gritty, because like you said, you never think it's going to be you. And then it is. So, well, thank you for your wisdom and your time. Thank you everyone for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you next week for another episode. Bye.
Bye.
This is a Tiny Home Tours production. Thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe for all future episodes. We'll see you next week.